Hello, everybody, and welcome to Great North Adventures Podcast, Episode 11. Today's date is Saturday, September 21st, 2019, and this is the weekly review of my motorcycle trip from the Arctic Ocean to the Antarctic Ocean. Odometer this week, 45,337, so basically right on standard, 1,200K week, so we've been taking it super easy, enjoying our time, and that seems to be our comfort zone, that 1,100 to 1,300 mark, so happy days. We started this week in Bogota and ended in Tulcan, Ecuador. Some great driving this week, but also some of the worst, which was near Bogota. And the cost of things, like the bang for your buck in Colombia, is super. You get decent quality, and the price is right. And you add a dash for the crazy locals, and it makes for a pretty good week. Some of the highlights, we went to the Tatacoa Desert. We took a secondary road to get into there, and it was 40Ks of nice dirt roads. There was a nice big river we were following for a little bit, some desert scenery. We went over a big old steel bridge and went through a couple of tunnels that were just kind of made of dirt. It was really definitely an interesting drive. And we met our buddy there, Tony. He kept pointing at his toe and then at his knee, going, "Tony, Tony, Tony." So he was a fun guy. He was living in Florida now, and I think he was either British or Australian. But yeah, good laugh with that guy, and yeah, nice guy to meet along the road. In Tatacoa, we took our panniers off and all our saddlebags and all that sort of stuff, and went for a rip. So we did about 50Ks of dirt biking that day, which was super, super fun. We kind of tested the bikes and put them to the limits, see what they can and can't handle. And let's just say they can handle a bit more than we thought they could when we first left for the trip. It was, yeah, a lot of fun, third, fourth gear, just ripping through the dirt track. Yeah, it was really good stuff. Then the drive from San Agustin to Macoa, it was about 120Ks, a nice mountainous, windy roads. You got to see this beautiful, untouched rainforest around you. Reminded me a lot of the North Island in New Zealand. And it was just super driving. Dodging potholes was also part of the fun. There was some man-eaters all over the place, so it was, you had to keep both eyes open, and it was, you know, the road wasn't too fast, but it was good enough to get some fun. And we did, yesterday, a road called the Trampolina del Muerte, the Trampoline of Death. So that was definitely another cool one, 70Ks up and down, 1.5-lane dirt track. You know, again, on the edge of cliffs, untouched rainforest. It was super. It was exactly like the Death Road in Bolivia. But we were saying, because it's called the Trampoline of Death, so we expect it to be, you know, pretty crazy. But we were saying that the volcano that we climbed in El Salvador, Conchagua, it made the 20Ks in Conchagua made the 70Ks of this Trampoline of Death look like child's play. So it's nice that we've kind of elevated our skill of biking and, you know, our experiences, and that we're able to kind of do these roads and feel more comfortable and not actually think that we're going to, you know, lose our lives or anything. So it's getting nice. A couple lowlights this week. Leaving Bogota was a bit of a horror show. We started the day off perfect. We drove on the sidewalk to get to the road that we wanted to go, and then we didn't miss a turn out of town. But we ended up on this mountain road, steep, 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 going up, 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 and then down, 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 down. But we just got stuck behind so many trucks. Yeah, truck after bus after car after truck after bus. And so, you know, you try to pass the people, and then, you know, your bike doesn't like running in second gear, full blast all the time. So then you got to pull over, and then you get passed by everybody again. And so that was a really hard kind of 150Ks getting out of town. And we had a plan to go kind of over towards the coffee region and towards Medellin, but we just called it. We just said, no, we're going to go south from here, take this nice highway that's got nobody on it. And I think it was kind of the right call. We've had no real setbacks or slowdowns since then, but that was just a horror show leaving there. Another one, we stayed in Pasto last night, which is kind of about 60-70 Ks from the border of Ecuador, and it was just the scuzziest town that we've ever been to. Like, you just got into town and felt like somebody was going to take your shoes off your feet, or, you know, whatever they're going to do. So we didn't walk around too much. We kind of kept our nose clean, stayed low, and got some check-in and, you know, just hung out in the room. So if you're ever in the town, don't go, or around the area, don't go to Pasto. Not really worth it. And another one, the border crossing into Ecuador today was kind of a horror show. We were checked out of Colombia in about 15 minutes. We were checked into Ecuador in another 5 minutes, and then we waited about 4 hours, 5 hours for the dude behind the counter to, you know, do his job and stamp, 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 photo, 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 catalog, 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 and then just fill out the two import forms for our motorcycles. Took maybe 10 minutes, but we had to wait 4 or 5 hours to get it done. So anyways, it was not the greatest border experience, but it could have been hot, it could have been sweaty, you know, there could have been a million worse things about it, but, you know, we survived. Scariest moment this week, Braden and I were having a couple of drinks out on, like, kind of a sidewalk patio there, having a beer, and there was this, like, greasy, greasy old fella beside us at the table next to us, and he was pulling a chick that looked a bit too kind of out of his league. There was nothing special about her, but this dude was all super nothing special. And so they kept buying beers, and her cup never went down at all, but he kept drinking more and more and more and more. And eventually she gets him so drunk, and she pulls out a knife and holds it up to his guts and is like, oh yeah, give me your money, you know, da-da-da-da-da, you're not getting any action, give me your money. And and she's trying to rob the dude like 3 feet from us, just literally at the table next to us. And it's like, oh, this is kind of sketchy. And I think she closed the knife and pretended to stab him in the leg on the way out. It was, it was real interesting, but he didn't care too much. He just promptly passed out afterward being super, super drunk. And so that was definitely interesting and a little bit scary. Kind of moved the chair a bit to the side and got a, you know, gated couple extra feet from that lady. Saw a couple cool critters this week, some big old iguanas. They're just kind of sunning themselves on the road, and they're, you know, a meter and a half long, so we almost ran over a couple, but luckily not. But they're all nice and colorful, and, you know, red and blues and greens, and yeah, just super duper critters. And definitely one of the coolest critters of the trip, we saw an anteater when we were in the Tatacoa Desert, just kind of hanging out the hostel, you know, going into all the gardens, digging up some ants, sending his tongue down, sucking him up. So that was definitely really cool. Got to hang out with him for 5-10 minutes. And just a nice little, maybe, yeah, meter long, including the tail, little, yeah, critter. It was amazing. And no fishing this week. I'll just leave it at that. It's turning out to be a motorcycling trip and not a fishing trip. Who would have guessed? But we did have some bike maintenance this week. We were in Bogota, took the bike into a mechanic to get the fork seals finally done. Every time I went into shops, I'd ask, do you have parts for Kawasaki? Do you have da-da-da? Do you have, you know, retenedores, which are fork seals, you know, da-da-da-da-da? Nobody would even get off their ass and go even look in the back or open a manual. They'd just say no and shoo me away. So went to the dude. He took everything apart, ran around town for me, and actually found the seals. He said they're the last ones in town, so maybe we're lucky, maybe we're not, I don't know. But the price was right, and he got the job done well, so that's another thing off my, some sweat off my back. Had some electrical issues starting to kind of poke their heads up. I've been kind of, if you've been listening to the podcast, you've probably heard me talk about my fan and my indicator lights coming up to this point. So it finally, the whole kind of kit and caboodle took the dust or bit the dust there. So I had to take the whole wiring harness apart. I replaced it's an interrupter for a signal interrupter for the turn indicators.
So that's the thing that makes it pulsate and flash, flash, flash. So I had to replace that. And I made a new circuit from just out of wire that I harvested from my bike, and made a new circuit through my fan into my switch and back to the battery. So that's 100% functioning now and shouldn't have any more, any more maladies there. So, everything's pretty much back to normal, except I gotta figure out the daytime running lamp. So the lights that are just should always be on that aren't on. Final thought this week, whoever owned my bike and tried to wire it up before is about as talented as a monkey when it comes to electrical. I took out maybe 5 pounds of useless wire just hanging out there causing problems. And I don't know what the guy was thinking when he put it together, but definitely wasn't thinking much. Anyhow, thanks everybody for listening. Lots of love, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye-bye.